Blog Talk Radio.
Little something that talks about real love. Want to tell you a little story. The day of a love once strong that now has faded away. All that was said at the altar, what did it really mean? Were they just caught up in the moment of a little boy and little girl's dream? Yeah, it's kind of strange. People think that love is only what they feel. It's in the heart.
Some folk who have come through the matrimony process are yet going through, mm-hmm. but have just been called to speak the truth on it. Mm-hmm. And this truth makes us to live it. You see, that's the good thing about it, is the great thing about the Word of God is it is not something that you just preach, but it is something that you have the blessed privilege and opportunity to live, to let it change your life. That's why when we speak about these things, it's not so much as an authoritarian, but as a servant representing it. And
as students, because as long as we are living, you know, as Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the high calling of Christ. And so what we do is that we're ever in the process of learning, you know, learning who God is, because God reveals himself in increments in our lives, but he only reveals himself to those who are seeking after him. And so we can never get to the place where we feel like we know it all.
That's right.
Like, I got this. I don't care where it is he's brought you to, you can never feel as if you have arrived. And the place that I strive to be, and I believe I can say this for both of us, is that we strive to be in a position where we're teachable and can hear him and allow him to reveal. Because one thing I found out about God is that he will not feed a closed mouth.
That's right.
When you are not hungry, when you're not thirsting after him, then you won't be filled.
That's right.
You know, the deception of thinking that you have it is that you think that you are.
That's right.
You know, but he said, but he's going to be the one to fill you, but he will only fill you as you hunger and thirst after him.
And in particular, it's like a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you've gotten your doctorate,
yeah,
your Juris Doctorate, your medical degree, you then begin to practice medicine or law. So it is. You know, we've been bound for 23 years. But, you know, it is a practice daily, you know, in each stage. And it's good.
Right.
Same thing with the theology. You know, even though you read the Bible and read it from Genesis to Revelation, even though I may know these things, as Paul speaks about, speaking with tongues of men and of angels, if I don't have love.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
You just make a noise.
Exactly.
And the truth of the matter, we never stop learning
exactly.
love.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
you, something will be thrown in your path
mm-hmm.
that is totally unlovable, and God will point to
right.
it and say, love it.
Mm-hmm.
Now cherish that.
That's right.
Sister Lewis, if you read that introduction, please.
Yes. The Holy Bible states that God established the foundation and the concept of marriage. When God does anything, he has a plan, purpose, and boundaries established to protect the purpose of what he had in mind. Through the centuries, mankind has come up with their own plans and ways to carry them out that are now in the forefront of many debates. We are going back to the beginning to see what God really had in mind when he established holy matrimony.
Sister Lewis, and I know you're chomping at the bit to begin this discussion. You have a great format for us. But I just want to clarify some things just before
mm-hmm.
we move forward. When we started in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, to establish why we're coming for Scripture,
mm-hmm.
one of the phrases that Paul used, why the Scripture should be embraced as our reference point, he said, for correction. And I love your
mm-hmm.
Amplified version. From that point, for correction, it went on to say, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, it says what?
It says...
For correction.
For correction of error
uh-huh.
and discipline in obedience.
Uh-huh.
And for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in
thought
purpose, and
action. That point.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it has always been mankind's way to deviate from God. From
mm-hmm.
the beginning,
yep.
as we shall see.
Mm-hmm.
And from the beginning, since they fail, you see, God had to correct them to the proper way, representing and serving him.
Mm-hmm.
From the garden, when men found that they had, be it Adam and Eve, found that they had sinned and that they were experiencing the shame of nakedness, they covered themselves with what? Leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And God corrected that by properly covering them with the coat of animals, the
mm-hmm.
skin of animals, which was really the shedding of blood,
mm-hmm.
which covered the remission of their sins. Am I right?
Exactly.
Then came Cain and Abel, where the distinction was made that God preferred the blood sacrifice that Abel made versus what Cain made.
Mm-hmm.
And Cain wanted so bad that God receive his sacrifice, he was wrong. And God said, if you do right, won't your sacrifice, I'm paraphrasing, be acceptable? But we saw how Cain rose up and slew Abel out of jealousy because his sacrifice was not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
But God corrected these things. And you can go on down through that Old Testament, through the Bible,
mm-hmm.
where man wanted to do it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Where man took things into his own hands and wanted to do things his way, but God corrected him
mm-hmm.
and let him know this is the acceptable way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as that passage brings out, we're talking about the holy and righteous way.
Exactly.
That way is the way of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Granted, God has given mankind a free will. You saw even in the wilderness approaching the promised land between Joshua and Moses,
mm-hmm.
his servants, his mouthpieces, he said, look, I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you a choice.
Right.
Of life or death.
Mm-hmm.
Blessings or cursings. This is Joshua speaking.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but the answer is life.
Mm-hmm.
Choose life. You have a choice, but
mm-hmm.
choose life. People argue about abortion, whether to choose life or a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God did give us a choice, too. But he's saying, choose life,
mm-hmm.
you see. And that brings us to the day when we're talking about marriage.
Yeah.
Marriage is honorable, as
mm-hmm.
the scripture says. But there's a way to do it.
Right.
A way that God established that it was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to get into today.
Right.
Come on, Sister Lewis.
Now, what we're dealing with today and what we're dealing with in our nation is this defining marriage.
Uh-huh.
To redo something means to do over or to do it again. It could be a different way, but it's redoing something from the other, from the
original. Uh-huh.
I'm reading from the Webster Dictionary, the word definition. An explanation of the meaning of a word, phrase, etc. A statement that defines a word or phrase. A statement that describes what something is. A clear or perfect example of a person or a thing. And then the second definition, A, a statement expressing the essential nature of something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's definition. That's the definition of definition.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When God did anything, he had purpose in mind. Did you see that in that second Timothy?
That's right. Explanation. Uh-huh. The Amplified Version.
In the Amplified Version. It has to do with the purpose, with God's purpose.
That's right.
And in order for us to understand God's purpose for something, when we're reading the scripture, there were five questions that were given that we should have in mind as we're reading the scriptures. And this will clarify and make known what the purpose of something is.
Uh-huh.
The first one is, when did it occur? Because you can read a word in the Bible, and I've heard many people who want to tear down the Bible and say that it's not accurate or that they read it out of context. And clearly some things that we have read out of context, and what you were saying before, there are things that happened in the Old Testament that no longer apply to today.
That's right.
So you have to look at the word and say, when did it occur?
Mm-hmm. Context.
Exactly. So the context. Who did it?
Mm-hmm.
Who did it is important when we're reading the scripture. We have to see who is it. Who is actually the one, the individual that did it. Okay? Why was it done? The when it occurred, who did it, why was it done? The fourth, how was it done? And then five, what was it designed to do?
Uh-huh, very important.
These are the five questions we need to ask when we're trying to discover the purpose of a scripture or a thing as we're reading the Bible. As you said, we're going back to marriage 101. So in order for us to understand marriage, we're going back to Genesis.
That's right.
Genesis 1.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was unformed and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness he called night. So there was evening, and there was morning one day. Those are the first five verses that set up the context of where we're going. When did this occur? In the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of what? Beginning denotes a specific time when something begins. The meaning of begin is to act starting something. Who did it?
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, God.
Uh-huh.
The word for God in this particular verse is Elohim. If you know anything about the names of God, Elohim is a plural, and it's a plural in divinity. Why was it done? What did we see he did in these? This was the first time light occurred.
Uh-huh.
Why was light created? Because the earth was void and dark.
He made a distinction.
He made a distinction. Mm-hmm. So it was dark. God wanted light, so he spoke light.
That
answers the next question. How was it done?
Mm-hmm.
God said.
Uh-huh.
And what did God say? Let there be.
That's right.
That word let, in so many times when we're looking at different words and different things, we read them so fast because they're part of our everyday vocabulary and we don't really look at them. But when I looked at that phrase, let there be, the root of that is to become, come to pass, exist, happen, and get this, to fall out, to fall out. Let there be, to fall out. And he said, let there be, because he wanted light, and that's how light came into the picture. So now, the next thing was, what was it designed to do? What was the purpose of light? Light to give vision. If something is dark, you can't see.
In Revelation, to reveal.
Because
you had void, and
exactly.
With disorder and chaos, light came to shine, to reveal what truly is.
Exactly.
And, you know, from that, and it's necessary to begin to understand those basic things
mm-hmm.
about how God operates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people stumble over this Bible because they look for it to have the answer to all things
right.
the way they want,
mm-hmm.
as science is specific about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But what this is letting us know, it is revealing to us how God relates to us and how we relate to God.
Yep.
And in order to even know us, we've got
mm-hmm.
to know God.
Exactly.
We've got to know how he operates.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know is that he was there in the beginning.
Exactly.
What we know is that how all of this was created was he spoke it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
What we know is that he is the creator.
Right.
There is an intelligent designer of all that we see.
Exactly.
One who has thought well of our plight mm-hmm. as mankind. And what we need to see, and this is what we're talking about the beginning and the origin and the basics, is you go by what you know.
Right.
Granted, you know, we dropped a disclaimer in the beginning that we're practicing this
mm-hmm.
love. We're learning to love. It is
right.
a process. Yes, we're students of life, and we're students of this whole of salvation and what it is. But there are some things we know.
Yes.
Okay? There are some mm-hmm. things we know.
Yep.
God is real. God is right. God
mm-hmm.
is true.
Yes.
He's intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
He's omnipotent and omnipresent.
Right.
He knows all. He's all-powerful, and he's everywhere. And from this is where we learn who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because as the 26th verse lets us know, he created us in his image and after his likeness.
Mm-hmm.
We're like him.
Yep.
You see? And it's from there that we begin to learn who we are as a people,
yes.
as man and as woman.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one that's very important before we even go further. Men are different from women.
And we're going to see that.
Let me rephrase this.
Mm-hmm.
Women are different from men, but I said the same thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Men and women are different, and he created us as such for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get back to it, as Scripture has given us, a purpose.
Yes.
Want to reiterate this amplified version. It's so very important to establish this point for the sake of clarity and understanding. In that amplified version, just to extend the understanding of, it says, conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. When we conform to God's will in our thoughts, purpose, and action, we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
You can't lose.
Exactly.
You will not displease God conforming
mm-hmm.
to his will in your thoughts.
Exactly.
You see, getting an understanding in your mind of who God is, making up your mind
mm-hmm.
who God is and that
mm-hmm.
his will is right and true and
yes.
it's something to be
exactly.
embraced, you can't go wrong.
Right.
This is why we're taking these basics to heart. Mm-hmm. This is why Sister Lewis broke that down, the necessity of understanding the context of the scripture. Mm-hmm. Who's saying it, what it's about, you know, and how it relates, yes, bottom line, to us.
Mm-hmm.
This helps us to understand our world around us.
Right.
The calamities that we see, the misunderstandings that we see, the misconstrued ways that we see, the perversions that we see,
right,
and are acquainted with daily that surround us and, yes, touch us.
Mm-hmm.
This helps us to put them in order. This helps us to know what is right and what is wrong.
Right.
Not that we're standing in some ivory tower looking down on the peons and saying, let them eat bread, as much as the bread of life is letting us know right
That's
here
right.
with our neighbors, this is what's right and this was, is
right.
what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary that you have this moral fiber in our society, or else we're a world of chaos.
Right.
And that was what God came to correct in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was... the earth was without form and was void. He
mm-hmm.
came and turned the light on that we may have order
mm-hmm.
and things properly put into place.
Right.
And thereby that brings us to this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to this union between man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
How it is meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right quick before we leave, establishing purpose in the book of Genesis, and we're going to be coming back and forth throughout the scripture,
mm-hmm.
weaving a fine web of truth that God presents to us. But Sister Lewis, I want to take a look at what he said to mankind.
126.
Not that one. Then, because we're running out of time, I want to get straight to what the first words he spoke to man,
mm-hmm.
you see, and
28.
Yes, in the second chapter of Genesis, in the 28th verse. I'm sorry.
128.
128. Yes.
Yeah.
First
God,
chapter.
Okay.
First chapter. Let me get this King James version right quick. I apologize. You know, I'm so excited.
yes, I can tell. That's all right.
You know, while we're turning,
mm-hmm.
This, you know, devil gets mad and gets into my technology, and hence, you know, it's trying to throw us off.
That's all right.
but you know,
can't
what
stop.
God said, and God blessed them after creating male and female. Let's start in the 27th verse, shall we?
Okay.
So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
So God created man in his own image, in the image and likeness of God. He created him. Male and female, he created them.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth,
mm-hmm.
and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth.
Now, you would think that in these days we wouldn't have to distinguish who he spoke to, but he talked to male and female.
Mm-hmm.
And the only ones that can procreate and be fruitful in the proper sense of the purpose in which they were created,
mm-hmm.
was male and female,
right,
as he created them to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
First things God told them. You are listening to a broadcast being brought to you by Kingdom United Ministries Network.
The mission of Kingdom United Ministries Network is to unite, promote, and expand the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sake of souls. The vision of this ministry
can be found within the themes of Matthew 25, verses 33 through 45, which in essence is what you have done to the least of these, you've done to me. We invite you to visit our website at www.kingdomcomenet.com. That is www.kingdomcomenet.com. Through this network of ministry broadcasts and online features, we are touching the world for the kingdom.
Our weekly broadcast, which airs each Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m., Dying to be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis, deals with the true process of holy matrimony between a man and a woman and Christ and the church. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Matthew 19:6.
Our monthly lineup is the first through the fourth Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and can be accessed via their web pages listed on the website of Kingdom United Ministries Network. There you will also find previous archives and relative ministry resources.
For our women's ministry, which airs on the first Saturday of the month, we have Naomi's Daughters, hosted by Ambassadors and Women on Fire, Sandra Lewis, Latoya Walker, Kathy Thompson, and Sister Linda Mariah. Stop by Kingdom's Kitchen for inspirational blogs. And visit our sister site, Minister Debbie Miranda's Radiant Tree Productions, LLC, for holistic health and organic skin and hair care products and information. Find us on Facebook.
On the second Saturday is Kingdom Foundational Truths, which is an open conversation of foundational truths that every Christian should know second nature, highlighting the basic principles of Christian faith, while reserving the right to go deeper and prompting open discussion.
On the third Saturday, we have Kept on Campus, which is a ministry that broadcasts serve as a monthly forum for young adults to tune in and discuss what's happening on our campus, both physically and spiritually. Join the conversation and encourage others to participate as well. Let's talk about what's happening on your campus, in your community, or in your life. Find us on Facebook at https://kept on campus.
And on the fourth Saturday, Kingdom Kids Network. Kingdom Kids Network is our youth ministry and is hosted by Junior Ambassadors Clinton
and Imani, and we are
Kingdom Kids.
Together, we are reaching our peers, talking about the challenges of our youth and the solutions for Jesus Christ.
Visit our website and view other ministry features and resources, including previous guest websites, Bible resources, blogs, and much, much more. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, visit our expansion and donation page, where a secure donation can be made, or write us and mail in your donation to Kingdom United Ministries Network, P.O. Box 51661, Kalamazoo, Michigan, 49005. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our broadcasts or are led to become a part of this network, send us an email by going to the broadcast page and provide us your contact and ministry information, or send to KUMN@KingdomComeNet.com. Follow us on Blog Talk, or send us your email or social media information for regular updates. And as always,
you are welcome. bone of my bone. There's no one closer. You are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. We are one. I do pledge my life to you forever and always. I will take good care of you and shower you with praise. All the trials and separate us, but they don't have a chance. No one can take your place. No, not even one. You are flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. We are one.
Going to bed.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Come on.
Come on. Husband and wife sitting up watching television.
Uh-huh.
About 10 o'clock, wife says, I'm going to bed. She picks up the toys in the living room, puts away the dishes in the kitchen, adds soap to the dishwater and gets it started so it'll be ready in the morning. She goes and locks the back door, picks up the toys by the back door, cleans the glass on the back door, packs lunches, puts the lunches in the refrigerator, signs the notes in the kids' folder, grabs clothes that have made their way down the stairs, takes clothes up to the laundry room, starts a load of laundry, folds the clothes that were already in the dryer, puts those clothes in the kids' rooms quietly without waking the kids, checks on the kids, checks the AC or heat temperature settings and adjusts it as needed, gets a shower, brushes teeth, flosses, mouthwash, gets the bed ready, reads devotional, goes to bed and thinks about the things that she forgot to do, gets out of bed, writes those things on a notepad so that she can do them tomorrow, gets back into the bed, and goes to sleep. The husband yawns, stretches his arms, and says, I'm going to bed. And he does.
Let me tell you something. As simple as they got cameras in our house. That is the real, that is the difference. And that is the truth.
How many times do you ask me? I'll tell you.
Yeah, you tell me you're going to bed and I call you back 2-3 hours later. You see. Well, I was on my way, but I had to do this, then I had to do that, then this came up, and then that happened. Genesis 2:18, marriage 101, dealing with basics, going back to the beginning. It's chock full. I know you've heard these passages. They may sound trite to you, but I'm here to let you know the word is alive and active. Sister Lewis, Genesis 2:18, if you will, amplify. And the Lord God said, it is good that the man should, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.
Now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, or satisfactory that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable, adapted, complementary for him.
Yes. Alone. What did we say last week that was?
All one. It's a combination of two words.
All and one.
One.
Mm-hmm. You see, in our interpretation as it comes. Mm-hmm. It's not good that man be all one.
Mm-hmm.
That man just be man.
Mm-hmm.
That it just be man.
Mm-hmm. And that man.
Huh?
And that male and female be in one.
Yes. Uh-huh. You see.
It's
necessary to separate the two. Why? To bring them back together
as
one.
Yep.
It's necessary to take out of man my original creation who is made like me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. To separate out of him that part that needs to be distinct from him.
Mm-hmm.
See, God did this with his word, didn't he?
Exactly.
God the Creator, God the Father, separated his word from him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He sure did.
And made it flesh. Now, we didn't learn that till later on, but in the beginning, he was making a type of who he is.
Exactly.
I heard the writer Paul have a revelation that he speaks of a mystery when he's talking about marriage, but he really meant Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So when God created Adam and saw and made in particular, when you're talking about, see, I'm tying this in with what you said already. When you find yourself at work and you seem like you're the only one, you find yourself in your family, you seem like you're the only one that's trying to be saved. You find yourself, don't worry about you being all one.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
God made a distinction.
Yep.
I mean for you to have help.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And note God making the distinction that he separated the two for this reason, you see. Man wasn't just meant to be with man, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But how God purposed them was man, woman was separated out of man.
Right.
Now that brings us down to this 23rd and 24th verse, just to sum up the basics so we can springboard into some other things.
Mm-hmm.
23. This is after God's divine surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She, let's get it straight. It's mm-hmm. clear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shall be called woman because she was taken out of man."
Then Adam said, "This creature is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
You see, it should be duly noted.
Mm-hmm.
Keep this in mind. This book of Genesis was told by God
mm-hmm.
to man,
yes.
In particular the man of God, Moses. Mm-hmm. This is God's account of what he meant it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's why when, you know, with all of the hoopla of how, why can't we be
mm-hmm.
this way?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be like this? Who says? This is why we stand on this word of God, which we have come to know and are knowing and are learning to know
mm-hmm.
to be the truth more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when you implement it, not just read over it, gloss over it, and,
right.
yeah, I heard that,
but
live by it,
yeah.
you're going to see the distinction of why this is to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Sister Lewis.
You know, I find it very interesting, and I think we brought this out, and I'm at this moment, it escapes me which translation it is written in. But, I still don't know which translation it is. Oh, I think this one is the complete Jewish version.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read those same two verses the way it's written here.
Mm-hmm.
In the 23rd verse, it says, "The man person said," and this is in quotes, "at last, this is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. She is to be called woman because she was taken out of a man." End of quote. Then the 24th verse. "This is why a man is to leave his father and mother and stick with his wife, and they are to be one flesh." Who did you say was given this account?
God. The Father.
This is a conversation between God and Moses.
That's right.
So the 23rd verse, God is saying, this is what Adam said.
Uh-huh.
But then in the 24th verse, God is saying, this is why Moses.
This is the reason.
This is the why
behind the what.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
This is the reason. This is the why behind the what, Moses, that a man is to leave his father and mother
uh-huh.
and stick with his wife, and they are to be one flesh.
That's right.
This is the first marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
God is telling Moses how he officiated the first marriage.
You see.
The first wedding.
And note, the purpose.
And the purpose. Exactly.
Keeping this in mind, what was the first thing God told man?
Be fruitful and multiply.
And, you know, this I must distinguish as an ambassador, as a diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to purposely make you feel bad if you're feeling some kind of way. This is not to purposely shame you for the lifestyle you're leading if it's some other type of way other than God's purpose. This is to distinguish and let you know the truth of the matter. This is to distinguish when you're asking, well, why not? Or why can't we? This is what the scripture says. This is why.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it needs to be distinguished.
Right.
Because why? I have a purpose.
Exactly.
This is that thing that we as believers have come to embrace, that everything God does has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This surely is a type of Christ.
Yes.
Let's go right quick in the time that we have to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And it's a few verses to read in the 28th verse. We're going to begin and read down through the end of that chapter. The 32nd verse. So if you will, Sister Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So ought man to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 28.
Even so, husbands should love their wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies.
Uh-huh.
He who loves his own wife loves himself.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church.
For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church.
For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones.
Because we are members, parts of his body.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
And this is the crux. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church.
You see, the mystery that this is, it takes knowing the purpose, the whys behind the what. And who can tell us that greater? None but God, none but the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we come to know him for who he is, as the Creator. We touched on this distinction in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to speak of how he then created the other creatures of the earth, including mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And many scientists and others have stumbled, the agnostic and the atheist, have stumbled over, well, when we can trace Adam back to 6,000 years. The Bible even does that.
Mm-hmm.
We know the earth has been around, and even bones of men have been here longer than 6,000 years.
Right.
But in the fifth chapter of Genesis, if you will, you can just read that amplified
mm-hmm.
version there, Sister Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Read that for us, please.
This is the book, the written record, the history of the generations of the offspring of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God.
In that, this speaks of the generations of Adam that God is distinguishing to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And surely, like Luke did in his gospel, he can trace it back to all the way from Christ back to Adam. Read
mm-hmm.
verse 2 there, please, too.
He created them male and female and blessed them and named them both Adam, man,
uh-huh.
at the time they were created.
You see, named them both that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because Eve was in Adam.
Exactly.
You know, and it brings us back to though,
mm-hmm.
Unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's choice as it is who he is. Father, Son, Holy Spirit as one. The Holy Trinity shows the unity of the Godhead, but also us as his body in this earth are to be united. And that's what marriage is representative of, a unity of two individuals of separate characteristics and makeup
mm-hmm.
Operating as one.
Right.
Where one may be weak, another may be strong. Where one may be astute, a mother, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the combination of the two.
Yeah.
Our differences are make us powerful as we couple each one.
Right.
You see, and that's truly the power. You know, we got into the scripture, we laid it out, and we've been in scripture to set up these truths for this reason. We just recently celebrate what we call our Passion Week. It was where, and this is, you know, the nitty-gritty and the ugly truth of the blessedness of where we are. And it says God blessed them in that garden.
That's right. When,
and he intended to bless them in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He meant for them to be spiritually satisfied,
mm-hmm.
you see, with his setup for mankind.
Right.
But there are some ugly truths that had to occur. Lord, have mercy. And he knew these ahead of time.
That's right.
Well, in our situation, our passion, yes, we're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. You see, the good is what God says. The bad is what we seem to experience.
Right.
And sometimes that formulates into the ugly truth, you see. And 16 years ago, 1999, from July 16th through July 23rd,
mm-hmm.
we found ourselves homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Through, after 3 years of following God by faith and seeing miracles,
mm-hmm.
we found ourselves homeless. It
yeah.
was the cross that we bore. For 7 days, we were literally on the street.
Right.
And Sister Lewis and I are writing about this experience. Yes, it's taken 16 years.
mm-hmm.
Working together is a labor of love. Because truth be told is how this ministry was birthed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean literally.
Right.
From homelessness to operating a homeless shelter.
Right.
You see, the mission here in our town. And it was in that week that it was like our commencement exercise, if you will.
Right.
We graduated from Holy Ghost University, being led by the Lord, and found ourselves experiencing the most powerful and profound things that affect us to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a time period where we entered into our wilderness 3 years prior, a dysfunctional family, and emerged
very
functional.
Very.
We emerged tighter than we ever have, and to this day we remain that way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we know this word works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some folk may argue with their opinion of how we found ourselves 16 years ago, homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how could you all, and we've heard this, literally
mm-hmm.
heard this several times, various times,
mm-hmm.
how could you say that gave God the glory?
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that was good for your family?
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that it was God that led you that way?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of such a thing. But I'm here to let you know of our experience.
Right.
It was God, and he mm-hmm. kept us, and we live by this word and applied this Matthew 18:19.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what got us through united souls today.
That's right.
Us together.
Right.
You see, we got through, not just Sandra and Winston united,
mm-hmm.
but us as Christ's body in this church, we united with his word. We united with the Godhead, came through it, and this is what we're passing on to our children. It's the same thing they learned in that Bible in the beginning.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
Learn to relate to God, thereby learning to relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basis
right.
of what how God meant for us to be fruitful. Am I right, Sister Lewis?
You know, something that you said when you said it took us 16 years to write about this, and, you know, I'm reminded also that the Gospels weren't written right away.
No, they weren't.
You know, that there were several years before the Gospels had been written. But I know personally, as you were saying, there was some good, there was some bad, and there was some really ugly things that we endured.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I know is that it taught me for the first time what the word becoming flesh
mm-hmm.
really meant.
Yes.
You know, up until that experience, I know I can say that I had a nominal relationship
mm-hmm.
with the Lord. I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, going in, one of the first tests that I had going in, the first word that I actually heard, he told me, every time I tried to bring you to another level of faith, you always had someone or something to fall back on. So I could never go any further because I was always dependent on people, my job, whatever it may be. But he let me know. He said, but you are going to learn to depend on me, and I will sustain you.
Surely.
And when God speaks, you know, I just recently heard a woman say, you know, that God doesn't speak audibly. Well, I can't say that he spoke audibly to me that day, but I can say that I know that it was the voice of the Lord that spoke to me, because the peace that passes all understanding immediately came with the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where I was mentally, emotionally. I know where I was prior to that word. But when God speaks a word, when you get a word from the Lord, there is a peace that comes to you that passes understanding. And I have experienced that many times since then. But I can say that one of the reasons for me having taken so long to actually put this down is because we're being very transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some ugly truths,
absolutely,
you know, that we have to deal with
mm-hmm.
when we're telling the story of what God did in our lives.
That's right.
And keep in mind, this is our story. This is our journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that you read something or hear something that we did and you automatically go out. If you don't have a word from the Lord,
let
you better not.
Let me drop this disclaimer. Don't try this at home.
Exactly.
Battery's
exactly.
not included.
You don't want to. But there is something, and I'm just, you know, just kind of fast forward really quick to the time after we were in for a few months. There was one time in particular that we met with my dad, and during this process, during the 3-year period, my dad went on to be with the Lord. But prior to him going on to be with the Lord, he said something to us that for me, it got me through so many of the times that we faced that it didn't look good. It didn't look like we were going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, kid, whatever you do, stand by your husband. He said, there's nothing that the two of you won't be able to do as long as you are together.
That's right. Before we close, let's read this Matthew 18:19 and just sum up that Passion Week. Matthew 18:18-19. And it reads, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven.
Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Literally. This is what happened on the 16th of July, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
They had told us the night before that they were coming to evict us. Okay? And it was a house I grew up in, house I own. My parents passed on, and my sisters chose to leave it in my care. I was raising our family. My wife and I were raising our four boys
at the time.
And They came that morning. Early morning, we had a service. It was Holy Ghost filled. And yet, we looked down the street, and it was a street full of police cars. City, county, state. Troopers. Two of them came in, one with a shotgun and another with a handgun. Pointed at us, you see. Came and removed us at gunpoint. And because they thought we were crazy, they'd heard about us. And we were yet there. We had not moved out. And they came guns blazing. You see. Just to paint a quick portrait of the ugliness. And they set us out, set our possessions out on the street. Street I grew up in for some 20 years, you see. Just to let you know, everybody knew me and my family. And we were out there on that street, you see, literally, broad daylight. And everyone came from miles around to see this situation. Police cars lit up down the street, guns ablazing, being set out. You talk about being on a cross with my wife and children, you see, just to set that up. And everything pointed to us getting to a safe place. We had no idea. We had no funds. We didn't have a plan to go anywhere. And yet this was our situation. This took all the faith we had.
Yeah.
And I tell you this, we took this scripture and we stood on it. Matthew 18:19, okay? Whatever the two of you shall agree. We'd been living by faith. We'd been seeing God do some miraculous things, got us through some miraculous times, and we have a profound testimony. And that's why we're writing about it, praying that it blesses someone else to functionality. Out of all the things that was tearing us up before we entered in this wilderness, all of the little things, you see, this was that thing that probably should have broken us apart altogether.
Right. Right.
It only made sense that we separate and get to a safe place and me get somewhere of familiarity where I can work and get us back where we need to be, where my wife and children can have somewhere safe and secure to be. And her family lived out of town and my family lived there in town. We were planning to split up for the sake of being functional.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth was, God called us together, and our plan was to stay together. And I asked my wife in this time of great humility, honey, what do you want to do? What do you want to see? Forget about what you think it could be. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And you said,
I said, I want a house. I said, I don't want to live up over anybody. I don't want anybody living over me. I don't want nobody living right next to us. I want a house. With all of our electricity on, I want with all our utilities, is what I said, and I want all of us to be together.
You see, because we were without electricity for 9 months,
mm-hmm.
you see. And she spoke
When you say people thought we were crazy, if I were on the other side, I would have thought we were crazy.
As I would, too. You know, because I saw people like this. I saw people go through this.
And I thought they were crazy.
And so did I.
So,
but to experience it, here we were, and we were in agreement that that's what we desire.
Mm-hmm.
Before the end of that week, we had exactly what we'd agreed on.
Exactly.
We were in a house. We were all together, all utilities on, in one place.
Yep.
And God got us there.
Mm-hmm.
That week, he got us through so many things. We saw miracles. We had enough to do everything we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Within a month.
Yep.
We thought it would take us years to recover. People had told us to our face, you're going to ruin these children, you see.
Right.
And within a month, we were in full-time ministry together, you see, and serving people who were homeless.
That's right.
And what we found was that this was the Lord preparing us to know how it felt. So that we could be effective witnesses to help others.
That's
why we do what we do today, some 16 years later.
Exactly.
This is our passion, to bring you all into a functional state under God. You can do it together.
That's
you can do it because we're here as living witnesses.
That's right.
Why God establishes these parameters and why we should honor them In Leviticus 20:22, it says, and I should read this in the NIV so that it will be plain, because, you know, we live in a time where people are questioning the Bible. People are questioning, you know, the validity of it. You know, people are questioning, you know, why should we even follow this? This is a passage which God distinguishes relationships.
And where is that?
The 20th chapter of Leviticus.
Okay.
Let's say in the 22nd verse, let's start there.
Okay.
And this is after God establishes the parameters of relationships we should have and should not have.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, keep all my decrees and laws and follow them, so that the land where I am bringing you to live may not vomit you out. You must not live according to the customs of the nations I am going to drive out before you. Because they did all these things, I abhorred them. But I said to you, you will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has set you apart from the nations. You must therefore make a distinction between clean and unclean animals and between clean and unclean birds. Do not defile yourselves by animal or bird or anything that moves along the ground, those that I have set apart as unclean for you. You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. God said this to his chosen people.
Yes.
This was to the Israelites, the nation of Israel back then. But they were a template for who we are as the church today, as his bride today.
Mm-hmm.
The distinction, those who are meant to stand distinguished for him. That's another word we're going to have to get into at another point in time, holy.
Right.
You know, because people, they make that a bad word. Oh, you think you're holier than thou.
Mm-hmm.
They say it in a disdainful way.
Right.
But God called us to be holy, to be set apart for his service. And that's all it really means,
and
you see.
To be in subjection to his word.
Thank you. That way to bring us around, Sister Lewis. We got to set a couple of scriptures. We're going to set them up first and then get back into the juice. Let's choose Genesis 3:16 as a first point. And the second one I'll establish for the sake of, so we can get to it, because, you know, this thing is hot, and it's something that really needs to be discussed. I don't think we're going to be able to squeeze it all in this time with the few minutes we have left, but I want to read two distinguishing passages that have to do with subjection. That's Genesis 3:16, and then Ephesians, subject one to another. That would be 1 Peter 5:24, I believe it is, if you're quick on the draw. But right quick, just setting these passages up. Genesis 3:16, Sister Lewis, I don't know if you're ready to amplify with me. Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your grief and your suffering in pregnancy, and the pangs of childbearing. With spasms of distress you will bring forth children, yet your desire and craving will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.
Passing the Ephesians 5:24 is similar to that. And wife's subjection to her husband. But 1 Peter 5:5 goes on to say, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
Likewise, ye younger,
And I should have, I read the NIV, I should have read King James. I'm sorry, I threw you off. Let me read this King James again right quick.
Okay.
Likewise, ye younger, do you have the Amplified version?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
Okay. Likewise, you who are younger and of a lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance towards one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, blessing to the humble.
You know, I think we have a caller. I want to read this last verse here, the sixth verse, right quick, 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Okay. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you.
You see, you can't never go wrong being humble.
That's right.
In God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't never go wrong because in due time, at the right time,
right,
you will rise. That's his promise. It's not mine.
Right.
You know, so much here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to hear from this caller, though.
Yes. Caller, your last numbers are 9277. If you would state your name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Sister Peggy in California. How are you?
Hello, Sister Peggy.
Welcome.
Yes.
That's your Ava Freedom spot.
You see,
yes,
I guess you couldn't stay silent.
I was expecting you.
But you are welcome because you've been on fire this evening.
Yes, you have.
I couldn't. It was burning up my bones. I had to come on the line.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's an issue that the church, the body of Christ, overlooks. I lay all of the assault that we're having on relationships, on our faith, on our faith. Let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
On our
mm-hmm.
faith, which everything else is encompassed in that, on at the feet of the church.
You see?
Like
yeah.
a lot of God's people, you know, I had the checker pass. I don't know about you guys, but.
Lord,
a lot
have
of
mercy. Birds of a feather.
Yes.
You're welcome.
I got caught up in wrong relationships and ended up in counseling. But you know what happens when you go to counseling is if they are serious about your healing, they make you look at yourself hard.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, I knew who Jesus was before I went to counseling, although it was a secular counselor. But what happens to a believer is repentance is the natural outcome when you have to look at yourself hard.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after I wiped my eyes and got the snot out of my nose and everything, after looking at myself
right.
and repenting before the Lord, I looked around me and it looked like nobody else was in this correction mode. And what God did was take me, my fragile self, to the book of Jeremiah. He started off by telling me, I know the plans I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Singing it
That's
to
right.
me in a song woke me up one morning. And then he said, now go read the rest of it.
Right, right.
And what he revealed to me was what the church is experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was U-G-L-Y, ugly.
That's right.
To coin a phrase from your previous message. U-G-L-Y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The assault
That's
on
the
our faith and everything it accomplished. That surrounds it, everything
mm-hmm.
that is, it's a direct result of the behavior of God's bride. And when
mm-hmm.
you talk about subjection, let's go, I'm getting back into your message now. The
mm-hmm.
bride, as said, needs to be subjected to her husband, who is Christ, who died to redeem
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm. That's
Not
right.
a lot of us women on earth can say that they have a man who died for them. But we will hook ourselves up to anybody who has a wagon
mm-hmm.
and shake our tail on down the street. And what's happening now in the body of Christ, as I was describing earlier, is exactly the same thing that God did to his children back there in the book of Jeremiah. He chastened them to the point where all they could do was cry out and say, Lord, help us, deliver us.
That's the truth.
Oh, guess what's happening today?
Wow.
We're having revival.
You know,
and
you know, it is so true.
Because now God's people are coming to say, wow, they were able to do that?
You see.
Well, we need to go back to square one, which is let's get back to the Word and see what the Word said. Am I going to stand here? I heard somebody talk about, am I going to be loyal to my friends and accept this thing because, you know, those are my friends. Those are my children. Those are my loved ones. Those are my brothers.
Right.
Or am I going to be loyal to God? And
you
that's
see.
It. Choose you. That's what we need to do.
Absolutely.
My final point is ideally in a relationship, a woman needs to follow God into matrimony.
You see.
Then she can trust God's leadership. And then he'll take care of all the others that she needs to be subject to. She don't have to be afraid to be submissive.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
If she's not
That's
subject to the Lord, then she is subject to being tossed and driven by whatever is coming her way.
That's true.
You know, that's a powerful statement because as if men are to pattern themselves after Christ,
yes.
his example was that he loved us. We love him because he first loved us and demonstrated that love by laying his life down, by giving. And as you said, most men will never get to that point. That's few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
But will you lay down your will, the will of your will for the will of your wife?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these are things that a lot of times people don't realize is that, yes, he doesn't give a woman any excuse not to respect her husband.
No, he doesn't.
As a matter of fact, he talks about even if he's not in the faith, you can win him over by your own meek and quiet spirit.
And, you know, that's the precarious situation there.
Let me add one thing there, because a lot of women use this as an excuse to stay in an abusive relationship. That is not what this is talking about.
Exactly.
If you're in an abusive relationship, as far as I'm concerned, your husband has already broken his covenant, almost
exactly.
as if he has committed adultery. However, because I use it as an excuse, that's why I'm bringing it up.
I'm glad you did.
However, in all other circumstances, there, just because he don't pick up his dirty drawers, he don't put the toilet seat down, he don't clean up after himself, that's not an excuse for you to be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. You better find your respect in the Lord and ask him to let you, teach you how to pray for your husband.
That's right.
Exactly.
And that'll change your heart to the point where you can be subject to the Lord as he is subjecting your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you have so much to say, sister.
Yeah.
That's so profound. This is absolutely what we're looking for in the conversation.
Right.
So many things that we need to discuss about this, the position that men are in. You know, and we're going to have to be back as our time is drawing short. Prayerfully, Sister Peggy, you come on earlier.
Exactly.
You
got so much to say.
I was thinking the same thing.
I know. I'm trying to hold my peace, but I guess I'll just come early.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
Yes,
because
you are.
This is what we need to discuss much here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from our mess come messages.
Exactly.
We who be of faith, from our mess come messages.
Yeah.
And Sister Lewis,
yeah.
I don't know if it's fun that we're having, but our time
We are. And Sister Peggy, we're just going to have you on a guest, and that way we'll have you on the whole broadcast.
Because you've got something to say.
We can do that.
You do.
Yep,
so look for that invitation, okay?
Most definitely. Thank you. God bless you. I want to talk to you one more thing about the strength that I hear in your wife, Brother Winston. because mm-hmm. I know that she would not be able to sit there and preach that powerful message. I can hear it. I can hear that you are pouring into her the strength that the Lord has given you. And I thank you for that. You give me hope.
Sure.
I know that's
thank
right.
Thank you so much. It is to God,
God
be the
bless
glory.
You, darling. God bless you, darling.
God bless
okay,
you,
I'm going to let
sister.
You go and finish. I'll be back.
Okay.
Excellent.
Okay. And if you have not, we have, this time has gone so fast, but we will never leave a broadcast without giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if you don't know him. So if you would, repeat this prayer after me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before you a sinner. But I understand and I know that Jesus died for me. I understand that, and I know that I can't fix myself, but that he paid the penalty for me and bought me with a price, and that price was his life. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, live in me, that I can live a new life in you. Father God, I pray right now for everyone who has prayed that prayer, one that they will know that it was not in vain. If they prayed it from their heart, it was not in vain. It is heard by you, and they are a new creation. And Father, I thank you for Sister Peggy and for all of those who have joined us on tonight, who have listened in, those who will listen even later. Father God, we pray that you will bless. Go into every home, oh God, every home of every listener, Lord, and fix it. You know what's going on. You know the things that can't even be articulated. But Father, we give it over to you, and we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much again for joining us for another broadcast of Dying to Be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis. God bless you.
Never told no more.